Remember those baptismal certificates that hung on your grandparents' wall? Beautiful. They had the baptism of Jesus and other images and their name. It was always a constant reminder of the gift that the Lord Jesus gave them in their baptism. Well, we have a new version of that. If you visit wolfsoncreative.com, you can see the baptismal certificates there. They're available electronically for congregations to print as many as you want, or individually, paper copies for families to hang on the wall and treasure the Lord's gift of baptism. The website is wolfsoncreative.com. And with each purchase, Issues Etc. gets a portion of the proceeds to carry on their work. Thanks for visiting wolfsoncreative.com.
The apostles found themselves, after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, down a man. They were 11 rather than 12. Of course, the 12th, Judas, had betrayed Jesus and then taken his own life. They gathered together, and it seems to them that they need to go back up to 12. They need that 12th man if they are to proceed, and they have him eventually. In the Apostle Matthias, the church is remembering Matthias, a man about whom we know very little except how he was chosen as the 12th man for the apostolic band. We remember him this day, and we will hear at Issues Etc. as well. Dr. Curtis Giese joins us to do just that. He's professor of theology at Concordia University, Texas, and he's author of a forthcoming Concordia commentary, two of them, in fact, one on Jude and the other on 2 Peter. Dr. Giese, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much. A pleasure to be with you, as always.
We find this story in the book of Acts about now the apostles reduced to 11 because of Judas's betrayal and suicide. Feel the need to bring that number back up to 12. Why is that, Dr. Giese?
Well, it was already portrayed in the Old Testament, this entire situation, and the book of Acts records that just before it mentions Matthias. It speaks of the unfortunate betrayal and death of Judas, and then that another would take his place. So this was already foreseen and a part of God's plan to restore the 12, to restore Judas's place, and it was determined that Matthias would be that. And this actually touches upon the work of Christ as he restores his church. Now, of course, on this day of Matthias, it's appropriate to give thanks to God for the saints who have come before us. Saint Matthias, an important part of the cloud of witnesses who represented Christ in what they did, who led exemplary lives as they were called by Christ to do so. So it's important to emphasize what Matthias himself did and what he proclaimed. But in this event, we also see very much the person work of Christ as well, as Christ is especially restoring his church. This especially becomes apparent. We have to go back a little bit and look at the situation around the death of Christ. There is much scattering, dispersion, confusion, and so on. We have the denial of St. Peter, so things were indeed in disarray at that time. But then in Jesus' death and his resurrection, then he begins his restoration in very important ways. With St. Peter, for example, he restores Peter in his words after the resurrection. And then we have the situation here with the gathered apostles and others in an upper room, and the emphasis is on Christ making whole once again. It's indicated in that upper room that there are about 120 believers. Notice that that's a multiple of 12, but 11 apostles. And so that's incomplete. The number 12 is important in Holy Scripture, 12 tribes of the Old Testament, and those tribes were indeed the Old Testament church and the 12 patriarchs, great leaders indicative of the Old Testament church. And the 12 apostles, representative of the entire New Testament church. Now, with the death, betrayal of Judas, and now the description here, only 11 apostles are there. So there was a dispersion, scattering with that event, one apostle lacking. And Christ is here in this event to restore his church, to bring back wholeness and so on, and that results and culminates then in the Pentecost event, where there is indeed wholeness and restoration by the apostles speaking in one language and one voice. So the emphasis is indeed on Christ and what he does, and we see it very much also in the description of who would succeed Judas. It was necessary, Luke says, that they choose one of the men who had been with us the whole time that Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up. So one of these must become witnesses with us of his resurrection. So there's really very little emphasis on the person of Matthias. He's mentioned. His name means gift of God. But there's really no further fanfare. The emphasis in listing the events of Christ's death and resurrection, the emphasis is on what he has done. And indeed, he works here, and we see the focus is on what Christ does to restore his church and bring about wholeness once again as he works in his death and resurrection for his people.
You mentioned the qualifications that they recognize would be necessary for anyone that God would choose to fill out the 12 apostles. The manner of the choosing is kind of odd to our way of thinking nowadays. They have a few candidates, and then if you could sort this out for us, they cast lots, they draw straws, and that seems kind of random to us.
It may. However, there is precedent for that. For example, in 1 Chronicles 26, lots are used to assign service in the temple. And that's according to the individuals and tribes. And also in Luke 1, we see that with Zechariah as well, and also in Nehemiah 11. There is the repopulation of the holy city of Jerusalem. That's done by lot also. Now, here in Acts chapter 1, they could have, I suppose, otherwise done it by a vote, but that, apparently that would have been viewed as more so people taking the initiative. But to do this, they were seeing God as being allowed to make the final decision, and he would work through this. He indeed had so directly intervened in so many things of human affairs, just with the person, work, and life, and resurrection of Christ, that they trusted he would work through that, and he would be the determining factor rather than a human vote. So although it might seem a little bit strange to our ears, it wasn't anything like gambling or the like, but it was allowing God to speak, and again, this was something that was already established very well in the Old Testament, and now also as we see in the New Testament.
Some have speculated that what happened here was really, they kind of preempted God's decision, and that the choosing of Paul later as an apostle is God's real decision for the apostolic band, the real way of filling out the number 12, and that Matthias was, well, the disciples getting ahead of themselves. How would you respond to that?
Well, Paul was indeed an additional blessing. As an apostle, became a main one. But again, the emphasis is not so much on the person, but on Christ. And Paul was called from being an avid Pharisee and persecutor of the church and became an especially prominent individual in the New Testament, especially in outreach to the Gentiles. But also, Matthias was important as well. There's some church traditions that speak about how and where he proclaimed. So, again, with both of these, the emphasis ultimately is, and the focus results upon Christ and not human initiative. So both individuals played important roles as they pointed forward to Christ.
You mentioned this before, but I'd like you, in the last minute or so that we have here together, to explain fully why it is that it's nice to remember men like this. We know nothing of Matthias other than how he was chosen, but why still, even with someone about whom we know so little, to remember them on this day as Christians, even so long after the events of his life?
Well, the early apostles, the 12 representatives of the church, we give thanks to God for how they proclaimed Christ. And we see in this, indeed, the role of apostle, that they are witnesses to his resurrection. And so with the many great members of the cloud of witnesses that have come before us, it's important to see how they represented Christ, how Christ was shining through them. So it indeed gives us examples, but more so their examples point to how people in their lives were led by God to fulfill their important vocations of proclaiming Christ. So we remember them. It's important to remember history. The church is built upon historical facts. Indeed, most important, the biblical history of the Old Testament leading up to Christ and fulfillment in Christ himself. But we look at the real, historical, earthy people of church history who faithfully follow that call and give thanks for them. And we look at that history and view how that can inform us and inspire us and so on. So we do not live in a vacuum, but give thanks to God for the real historical people that proclaim Christ and who join that great cloud of witnesses, as Hebrews 11 and beginning of Hebrews 12 proclaims to us. So just as that book of Hebrews inspires us to remember those biblical people, so also it's appropriate to remember that entire great cloud of witnesses. And Matthias, although just mentioned once as one who received great blessing to serve Christ, so it's very appropriate to remember him along with others.
Dr. Giese, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Kurt Giese is professor of theology at Concordia University, Texas, and he's author of the forthcoming Concordia Commentaries on Jude and 2 Peter. Now, when we come back from this break, we're going to spend the remainder of today's Issues, Etc. with Dr. Robert Benet, talking religion and politics. He's author of a new book titled Good and Bad Ways to Think About Religion and Politics, and he's director of the Center for Religion and Society at Roanoke College. What would be a bad way for Christians to react to the news of the day that President Obama will not be defending the Defense of Marriage Act? That's my first question for Dr. Benet after this.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday School lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
A rare pro-life free speech victory.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In a victory for pro-life free speech in public schools, a federal judge recently ordered the McSwain Union Elementary School in Merced, California, to pay Tiffany Amador $50,000 for violating her constitutional rights. Amador, a sixth grader at the time, was told she could not wear a t-shirt that said abortion and showed two pictures of a developing unborn baby with the caption growing, growing. The third picture, however, was blank and the caption simply said gone. School officials claimed the t-shirt was disturbing and graphic. The judge, however, disagreed.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.